Episode 268.
And the sharper guy said, hey, you know, rather than me getting a slice of the pie, why don't I hang a shingle out, put it on a building, run my own business, and then I can have the whole pie. But when I engage in conversation with them and I ask them, where did you get your business management training? Most of the time, I get a deer in the headlights look.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Insights on the tech shortage, shop owners' biggest challenges, and strong financial advice is coming at you right now from Scott Wheeler, an industry veteran who's been coaching for 17 years. Hey, welcome aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world to episode 268 of Remarkable Results Radio. Carm Capriato here with another educational resource to the content library. Now, this aftermarket episode is supported by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support online, on-site, and on-demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. And I just saw a great live event with trainer Bud Houston from the Detroit Garage Guru site. Congrats. If you're new to the podcast, first on your to-do list is to listen and learn just one thing from this episode. Now next, download the listening app from your iOS or Android store. Search for Remarkable Results Radio. And if you already have it, thanks. Now next, make the podcast a key part of your ongoing learning tactics. Don't be overwhelmed by the vast library of interviews and academy lessons. Take them all in bite-sized portions and listen to what you want. Now to help you focus, go to the episodes page and on the sidebar, find the category filter and the tag cloud. You'll be able to filter your uptake. And most important, you're becoming a perpetual student. Hey, thanks to my new LinkedIn connections, Robert Merwin and Greg Unger, and new Facebook friends, Jason Maras, Tommy Oliva, and Tyler Boylis. Great to have you linked and friended. For every one of my social links, go to remarkableresults.biz/social. The show notes for this episode is at remarkableresults.biz/E268. Now, meet Scott Wheeler. As a 36-year industry veteran, he's been a business coach for the last 17. He holds numerous ASE credentials, and we jump into some extremely important topics of discussion that will have you engaged and shaking your head slowly up and down, as you'll relate to many of our key talking points. Now, don't shy away from the financial discussion. Please don't. These are some of the most critical topics for a successful business. You know, life is a big math problem, and we do some of it here. Now, enjoy some really good aftermarket edification. Meet Scott Wheeler. Hey, a warm welcome to Scott Wheeler, president of ACGI, the Automotive Consultants Group, Inc. 36 years experience, Scott. All important elements of our industry. Where'd you get all that great experience?
Well, that's a great question. I started out as a tech back in 77, back when emissions were just coming into reality.
39 years ago.
Yes. So worked as a tech through college, and I've had my hand in it ever since.
Wow, two master certifications from ASE. You keep them current?
I do. One of them, my master's in medium and heavy truck, is due for renewal. So I've got to bone up on that and get ready.
I've read a lot of articles. In fact, you do write for Motor Age, a feature column, looks like every month.
Not quite every month, but I just finished writing an article for Motor Age. I was published July, just a few months ago, and it was titled The Mass Exodus, regarding the technician shortage that we're all facing. Every one of us that's in the automotive service and repair is affected by that.
Is it going to get more difficult, or are we going to finally come together and figure this out?
Well, I would like to think that we're going to come together and figure it out, Carm. But the writing's been on the wall for a long, long time. And in the article that I wrote back in 77 when I got into the trade. We were called mechanics back then. Now we may be called electrical engineers with some mechanical experience.
You need to have a lab coat.
Absolutely. And a laptop and a scanner or two or three and Identifix and on and on and on. But to answer your question, I don't know that the problem is going to rectify itself anytime soon. There are organizations out there that are trying to make it right, but they simply do not have the draw to pull new, fresh, young people into the trade that are, you know, their first nature is that they're mechanically inclined.
So what's it going to take to pull the industry together? And I know you're right. There are a lot of TechForce, ATMC, AYES from ASE, lots of stuff coming together. NASDAQ, so ASA, so many organizations working on this issue. Any one magic bullet?
You know, Carm, I don't know that there is any one magic bullet. Companies like UTI that are trying diligently and doing their best to attract fresh young talent, they're doing everything they can. Of course, they are an entity, a business on their own right. So, you know, they're trying to bring in fresh young talent and earn money by doing so and turn them out. However, in reality, the people that are coming out of these schools, while they may have the book knowledge, they don't have the practical experience. So that makes it difficult for them to land a job and say, hey, I just came out of Wyotech or UTI or whatever, and I've got this degree in automotive mechanics or automotive technology, but they have no practical experience.
And they need to get it, and they need to invest in the next level. I'm on a advisory board of Erie Community College, a two-year automotive tech program here in the Buffalo, New York area. Just got on. You know, I had a chance to talk about that. They're not letting the students believe that these $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year jobs exist out there. They're doing the best that they can to set up their grads, knowing that there's still a lot more that they need to know. So I guess a part of it, Scott, is that the shop owners that are taking on these two-year grads have to bring them on in a completely different way than maybe they would have taken a person off the street years ago.
Right. A gentleman that I'm working with in Kansas City, we realized long time ago, everyone knows, just the investment in tools and equipment. You're asking a two-year grad coming in to do a job that's going to pay maybe 40, 50 to start, maybe less, maybe more, depending on the demographics. And then you're asking him to purchase $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of tools and equipment just to do the basic repairs. And then you're asking him also to continue his education and continue to learn and grow. And quite frankly, that's asking an awful lot. And I think that's a stumbling block. So the industry needs to realize that maybe the shop should supply the tools. So that's what we're doing with the folks I'm working with.
You know, I didn't ask you to do this, but you just laid me up a softball. I'm doing a Town Hall Academy coming up very soon on this exact subject. Should shops buy tools for their techs? And I'm having three shop owners on that believe they should.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, we're going to take the positive side of that. Listen, I know we're not going to necessarily solve the technician shortage issue here, but I guess it's good to continue to talk about it. I'm talking to Bud Houston, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, Bud, what's the best thing about the Guru on the Go van?
Yeah, I think that the best thing about the van and the kind of the mission is it's twofold. One is ultimately to bring brand awareness of the Federal Mogul portfolio. But I think the way that we do that is we bring value to the technician, the shop owner. And how we do that is we bring technical content, we bring some updated material, and once they see that I care about their operation, their reputation, and their qualifications, one, they're built up, but two, they really at that point listen to what I have to say about the brands, and it's built, the relationship is built on a mutual benefit.
So you bring technical stuff and you bring product specific.
Yeah, me personally, I'm super technical background. So anytime I'm doing a lunch and learn or a van visit, training session, it's typically 90% technical, 10% product.
Any new Moog products that are getting good reviews?
Yeah, one that's recently released is the Dodge Ram 25 and 3500 complete steering assembly. It's inner and outer tie rod ends and drag link pre-assembled. This is the first aftermarket part that's available in a complete assembly for this application. And the specific application to late model Dodge Rams are actually a kind of a high failure part on the chassis parts.
What about the compression loaded ball joints with pre-installed integral dust boot?
Yeah, the integral dust boot has been a huge hit. Initially, the idea was, well, where is the boot? And then once you kind of get around and show people, they're like, well, that is the best idea I've ever seen, because I've torn so many boots on installation, or I've had a boot that's not seated properly. And they're like, well, that's just not an issue now. And they love it.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Hey, what do you see are the biggest challenges of the service professional today? You're a consultant, you're a writer, you're out there, you're hearing, you're seeing. What are the biggest challenges?
What sticks out in my mind most prominently is that these guys don't know what they don't know. And by that, I mean that many of them, most of them, started out as a tech, as a automotive service repair professional technician. And the sharper guys said, hey, you know, rather than me getting a slice of the pie, why don't I hang a shingle out, put it on a building, run my own business, and then I can have the whole pie. But when I engage in conversation with them and I ask them, where did you get your business management training? Most of the time I get a deer in the headlights look, or because of what I consider the ego factor, they will come up with something else and say, well, you know, maybe I took some business management classes at night. Unfortunately, I can count on one hand how many of my clients and folks that I know in the industry have attended college and graduated. One has a master's in finance, and one had a four-year degree from a Georgia State University.
Did that additional education help them?
Absolutely.
They get that you have to be a perpetual student thing. Scott, if you were to ask me out of the last 100 interviews that I've done of service professionals, what is the single biggest common denominator? And I'm going to assume you just asked me that, and I'm going to give you the answer. And the answer is that they have business coaches, and they're extremely successful. And they've had a business coach for a while, and then sometimes they just said, hey, let's take a break for a while, and then they come back because they need that discipline, the accountability factor.
Absolutely.
It's almost, in how I see it, Scott, a trend. And I think there's more work for business coaches out there. Is, you know, obviously you've got to have the right, you know, the personnel has got to mesh, the connection's got to be right. But these guys need you, guys like you.
To be quite frank, it prompts me to be deeper and deeper and deeper engaged in the industry, because I don't always have the answer, and I don't BS anybody. So I tell them, you know, that's a great question. I'm not quite sure, but I will dig into it and find out for you. As a result, we both learn. It could be anything from DNR to EPA to OSHA to, is this a person an employee or a contractor? Well, that's a great question. I'm not sure of the answer, because according to the California Department of Labor, it is this or it is that.
You're right. There's so many different laws and so many issues that come up. It's great to hear that you want to continue to learn. Define for me what a $1 million shop would look like as far as, say, how many techs it needs.
The simple answer is that if you break it down mathematically, $1 million per year is $83,333 per month. Okay, if you drill down on that, the average work month is about 21 days. Okay, so if you go into the math and you look at the numbers, and let's keep it simple and say at a 50% gross profit margin, what does a shop need? How many techs do they need? How many cars do they need? And so on. So it comes down by basic math that you would need about 3 billable hours per RO, about roughly 8.5 cars a day, at an average ticket of just over $450. And then what would it take to make that happen? Well, you would need 3 technicians that are doing good production numbers, about 105% productivity. If you do that, each tech is going to produce almost 1,300 per day. Simple math, there's your $1 million.
When you sit down with a client, be it a prospect or a current, you guys are looking at these numbers because you've already set the goals of the business?
Here's the mindset. Here's the strategy. And whether someone works with me or works with some other coach or tries to figure it out on their own, it's very basic. The automotive service and repair shop is nothing more than a large math problem. Once you understand the math, and some people do, unfortunately, not very many. Those that do understand the math, they don't necessarily know, Carm, how to make the numbers go up or down.
Yeah, how to fix it, yeah.
Right. So if a number is out of line, if your technician productivity level is out of line, if you're not at 105%, if you're like most shops that I see that are at 60%, 70%, maybe 80%. I can also count on one hand how many shops routinely have productivity over 100%. Now, what does that mean? If a technician is on the shop floor for 9 hours out of a 10-hour day with an hour break for lunch, he produces 9 hours. That would be 100%, right?
Right.
He produces 10 billable hours. That would be over 100%, obviously. But can he do it consistently? And can the shop manage that, get the cars in, get the cars out? And here's the kicker. The work must be done right the first time. Because warranty, or comebacks, as we all hate to call it, if the warranty rate begins to exceed 1% to gross sales, you've got a problem, because you can only funnel so much work through the shop before mistakes happen.
And then you got to figure out why. Is it parts? Is it the quality of our labor?
Exactly. You need to delve into that a little bit deeper. Or certain things that miscommunication at the counter with the service rider and the customer. Oh, I thought you said the right front hub, not the left front hub, and so on. Here's a true story for you.
All right.
Woman comes in with a complaint of a noise in her car. Miscommunication at the service counter. Gets to the technician. Customer states noise coming from car. He test drives the car. He hears a loud thunk in the trunk of the car. He pops the trunk, and there's a bowling ball rolling around in the car.
Yeah.
He secures the bowling ball. He writes it up, found cause of customer's complaint, loose bowling ball in car, secure bowling ball, and turns the ticket in. Unbelievable.
I've heard similar stories to that. every time I turn this way. Yeah, you're right. And it is a communication, but frankly, that stuff goes on a lot. And it doesn't make it bad. It doesn't make it good. But your point is communications is like one of the most critical failures of good productivity.
Absolutely. And I teach and I preach communication. And not only communication, but good quality communication. And isn't it true, Carm, that communication or lack thereof is problematic in any business, not just ours?
Absolutely right. Oh, even in mine, sometimes we say something and it's completely interpreted at the other end of the phone based on the perceptions, the culture, the world of the person receiving it.
Right. And nowadays, with texting, a lot of shop management software has already incorporated texting within their software to be able to text. Now, what's sweet about that is that you can also text pictures. So now you don't have to particularly describe that the front brakes are worn out. The technician can take a picture and send that directly to the customer. And as the saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words, right?
Took the words out of my mouth. Let me go back to like one of these root canal moments. You just said all activities can be managed by math. And for so many people, math? Oh, that's like, I'd rather have a root canal, right? Where I'm driving with is the profit and loss statement and the balance sheet. And if people are not getting their books done properly and not getting a monthly, you know, I've always felt in all the businesses that I have been either owned or been part of that a monthly P&L is critical to knowing where you're going and how you're getting there. And there's a lot of shop owners that don't, at the end of the year, their accountant tells them what's going on. They judge their success by what's in the checkbook. You probably are a big advocate of having monthly profit and loss statements.
Holy cow, you just hit the nail on the head. Now, here's the kicker about a P&L, otherwise known as a profit and loss statement. And I have actually had people in my classes, when I say P&L, they're like, are you talking about parts and labor? I'm like, no, sir, that would be a profit and loss statement that is generally put together by a CPA, a bookkeeper, an accountant, that type. The P&L is, of course, it's mandatory that they have, you know, access to that. Here's the problem with the P&L. It's a document that reflects the past. It reflects what has already happened. So typically, a shop owner might get the P&L 2 weeks into the next month following the closeout of that month. So he's looking at numbers, and whether or not he truly understands the numbers, and this is where I come into play. I help them to not only engage and understand the numbers, but I help them to understand this has already taken place. This is a document from the past. So what we need to do is what I do is introduce what's called a KPI tracker, key performance indicator, on a daily basis. And it takes literally 3-4 minutes for them to fill out. And they do this online via Dropbox. And I basically can look over their shoulder and see as soon as they've rung out the cash register and they've batched out the credit card machine, I can literally look immediately and see parts, parts margin, labor, gross labor sales, total sales, shop supply sales, hazmat, tires, whatever. The KPI tracker, the key performance indicator, tracks all of that.
So what you're saying is if you're paying attention to your daily numbers, Scott, when the P&L comes out, you may not be so surprised. Oh, you know, you may not look at a P&L that isn't making sense to you about your historical performance, and you may say, wow, we're heading in the right track. We've hit some of these budget numbers.
Correct. Absolutely. In other words, when the P&L finally lands, it should never, ever be a surprise. Did you have a good month? Did you have a bad month?
I totally agree with you. That's exactly how I've always viewed it. And that's where it goes to something you said earlier. How do you manage the strengths and the weaknesses in the numbers? You know, what levers do you pull?
It's not a simple answer, quite frankly. Once you know what your targets are, and let's keep this conversation simple. Let's use labor. Most repair shops, for every dollar that crosses the counter, approximately 50 cents is derived from parts and approximately 50 cents is derived from labor. This has been proven to me over and over and over by all of the P&Ls, thousands of P&Ls that I've reviewed. If 50 cents, if half of your revenue stream is coming from labor, what should the gross profit margin be? Now, there's various schools of thought on that, but to keep it simple, if we look at technician labor cost unloaded, that means no FICA, FUTA, SUTA, Medicare, Medicaid uniforms, vacations, sick time, 401k, none of that, unloaded, should be somewhere in the vicinity of 68 to 72%. Let's call it 70. So when you batch out at the end of the day, what was your technician cost and what were your billable hour sales? What was your labor sales? Are you anywhere near 70%? If you're not, then you need to take a hard look at reality and say, okay, where does the problem lie? Am I overpaying my technicians? Am I not charging enough for labor? Are my technicians simply not producing? In other words, I'm paying them for a 9-hour day, but they're only giving me 5 hours of build time. So it should cause a shop owner to pause and look at it. But Carm, to be frank, many of these shop owners don't know what the benchmarks are.
And so where are they going to get them if it's not through a business coach? There's probably everything that they'd ever want to possibly know online.
Well, yes and no. Business coaches like myself, of course, I have to stay current with the industry. That's why I mentioned loaded versus unloaded technician cost. So I've got to stay current, even then, state by state by state. And even within a state like California, I've got quite a few clients in California. Even within California, the demographics are such that, okay, are you talking about Santa Barbara? Are you talking about Los Angeles? Okay, two entirely different demographics, an entirely different cost of living and so on. So many factors come into play, Carm.
I guess most importantly, you can get the benchmarks. Say someone says, hey, here's where your numbers need to be. If you don't know how to pull them together, and if you don't have someone, you know, and I don't want to say this, you may have said looking over their shoulder, but to me, that's the quality of the discipline of the business coach, is that you really have someone to say, so what do you think of those numbers? Where are you heading? How are you going to fix them? I mean, your job is not to give every solution. Your job is to teach him how to fish.
Right. As the saying goes, you can give a man a fish, feed him for a day, or teach him how to fish and feed him for life.
Yep.
That is my job, and I take my job very, very seriously. I have to work, engage, coach, mentor, teach, whatever phrase, whatever wording you want to use. My job is to impart knowledge and education, and help these shop owners to know where to get the numbers, what the numbers are made up of, where do they come from, what supporting activities make the numbers go up or down, where should the numbers be in relation to each other. And Carm, what's really wild, let's take car count. I recently was asked by Ratchet and Wrench magazine to contribute some information regarding car count. And they asked me point blank, what should car count be? I said, that is not an easy answer. First off, it's different for every single shop. But going back to the million-dollar shop that's working using three techs and 8.5 cars a day with three techs at 105% productivity at a $92 labor rate will produce $1 million. It's basic math. My responsibility to my clients and the knowledge that I wish to impart on everyone that's listening to our podcast, if you don't know what your numbers are, shame on you, because there is information out there all over the internet on how to read a P&L. Go to Amazon.com, get a book on how to read financial statements. What about a balance sheet? What about a cash flow statement? Those three, the P&L, the balance sheet, the cash flow statement, those three critical documents, you don't only need them, you have to have them. And you have to understand what they are telling you. And you also need to recognize that this is from the past.
This industry is a very big and important part of the whole GMP of our country. We help keep people safe. We move people. Very, very critical and important, the auto, you know, care industry. We're professional. And I guess being a professional means having a P&L and having your numbers. You seem to be saying more and more that shop owners are struggling because they haven't gone into that professional mindset and then said, okay, in order to be wildly successful, earn a lot of money. And it's not really about the money. There's a lot of many other reasons to run a successful shop. And that is, you did a great article on succession and, you know, and how to prepare. And if you're doing the business for a hobby, you might as well just find another hobby, because it's becoming so critical today to be professional.
You're exactly right, Carm. Being a professional, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, we can talk about ASE certifications all day long. I've heard every argument, pro and con, regarding ASE. But what else in our industry do we have? We have ASE. That's pretty much about it. Universally recognized, promoted. ASE has done a wonderful job of promoting the ASE brand, the recognition, the training. I mean, when they start publishing articles in women's magazines to educate about 62%, if not more, of the buying power, the women bring the car into the shop. They have been trained and taught to recognize ASE as a professional brand. Are your techs ASE certified? They may not even know what that means or what it takes. That's not the point. You would not go to a brain surgeon for brain surgery unless he was board certified and had every credential known to man.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're so right. Let's go into leadership and culture. You could be so smart with the numbers and still not have a great business.
You're correct. Being a business owner, be it in our industry, Carm, service, you know, automotive service and repair, or any business, you have to wear so many hats. And you have to be very adept at quickly swapping hats. One minute you might be coaching a subordinate, the next minute you might be teaching a customer about why their brake pedal is pulsating. The next minute you might get a phone call from your CPA that says, hey, these numbers are off. So now you're having to put on your business hat. Then 5 minutes later, you're out there diagnosing a misfire on a car. So with regard to leadership, I've found that there are a lot of different styles. Everyone, of course, has their own style, but there are some universally accepted practices and principles which should be adhered to. Read a book called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership.
John Maxwell.
Yes, excellent author. Listen to some of his recordings. educate yourself. What does a leader look like? What does a leader do? Here's the best way I can put it. A leader, a real leader, doesn't light a fire underneath someone to get them motivated. A real leader lights a fire within them to motivate them, to want to excel, to want to go to training, to want to do their best. That is the key difference between a leader and a manager.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm so glad you brought up John Maxwell. I still continue today, every day, to get the Maxwell Minute sent to my inbox. In 1998, I picked up Developing the Leader Within You, and it really did change me in 1998. So that was an important move for me, and then I've read probably a dozen to 15 of John's books, and I've heard him speak, not live necessarily, but, you know, great, great guy. Well, we've really covered KPIs, we've covered P&Ls, we've covered leadership, we've covered tech shortage, we've covered one of the biggest challenges in finding greater success at the service shop level today, and that would be getting that ego put on the shelf.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Karn, when we were speaking privately, I mentioned to you that 17 years ago when I started consulting, that was the one thing that I never expected. That was not in my business plan. And trust me, I had a very comprehensive business plan before I launched Automotive Consultants Group as a company and started formally engaging with clients. But I never expected to hit a wall of ego that was so thick. I would ask a question like, well, what day of the month is your break-even point? Well, Scott, you know, if we have enough money left in the checking account at the end of the month, we're good to go. We've had a good month. Oh, righty then.
Yeah, and you hear that every time you sit down with a new client, and it does get a little old after a while hearing that. And it's obviously the wrong answer, but it's the right answer for that individual because they have no other answer.
Correct. And I've come to expect that.
Yeah, I understand. And again, I go back to the lessons that I've learned as the voice of the aftermarket here, getting these stories told. If you really want to put a Saturn V under your business, go hire a business coach.
Absolutely.
The least expensive employee in your group. Hey, so let's bring this to a conclusion. Did you ever get any great advice in your life that you're willing to share?
I have, and it's come from a number of sources. I can't cite any one particular source, but my advice to anyone would be to continue to learn every single day. And Karn, with you mentioned John Maxwell's Minute podcast that you get every day. Isn't that continuing education?
Absolutely.
Of course. So with this wonderful thing called the internet and smartphones, there is absolutely no reason why we can't all, in some way, shape, or form, continue to educate ourselves. And I don't care if it's a spiritual education, business education, the education that I provide as a business coach, or if you're trying to improve the relationship with your wife and family, there's ways to do that. There's information out there. There is help out there all over the place. And you've heard the cliche, is it ignorance or apathy? Well, I don't know and I don't care. Right?
Right.
All right. There's no place for that in our society anymore.
You've brought a great, great perspective to this great library of educational content for the aftermarket. Scott Wheeler, President, ACGI, the Automotive Consultants Group. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Karn, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Scott Wheeler, for some very frank talk on the dues of a good service professional CEO. Get the show notes and talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E268. I know you've heard some great pointers discussed here, so if you finally got it or you understand your next move, just do it. Implement the hardest part of the knowing-doing gap. Hey, let me know how you did. Write to me, Karm at remarkableresults.biz. Want more? Just head over to the Town Hall Academy. The weekly forum tackles a single subject with a panel discussion. So much to learn from the Academy. Look to the Academy page on the website, and the library grows every week, 12 noon Eastern, live on Facebook. The power of a documentary, the educational value of a seminar. Hey, thanks for being here. Continued success.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.